Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey, welcome back, friends. We are on the podcast today with Dave Allred to talk about his unconventional speaking journey and what he's been building throughout his career. Now, Dave comes from a small town in Utah, and he is no stranger to hard work. Through his hard work, he turned his college job into a 15-year career in sales and sales leadership. And for Dave, this was great, paid the bills, but it ultimately wasn't what he wanted. What he really wanted to be optimizing for in his life was freedom. And so in this episode, we're going to break down how Dave found freedom in his life while providing for his family and pushing the limits of his goals. Dave's going to share his mindset around goal setting and expanding his comfort zone to achieve his biggest dreams. Dave's speaking career is the result of conquering one of his biggest fears. So why has he stuck with it? Well, you are just going to have to keep listening to find out. So thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it and chatting with Dave. So let's jump right into it. Here's my conversation with Dave Allred. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Baldwin here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Good to have you here with us today. Today, I'm chatting with my buddy, Dave Allred, and excited to chat with him. Very successful speaker and an entrepreneur, investor. And so he has taken a path into speaking that has been a bit unconventional to what a lot of people we've talked with. So excited to chat with him today about that. Dave, what is up, my man? How you doing?
Grant, thanks for the invitation. I'm honored to be here, man. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So first of all, why don't you give us a little bit of context of who are you? What do you do in terms of work? And then how does speaking fit into the mix of things?
Okay. So I'm from Utah, small town. I grew up in a really poor income, low income, blue collar home. I was going to college, got recruited to go out and go sell home security systems door to door. I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't know how hard it was going to be, but it was one of the most hard, challenging things in my life. Went out to Chicago for 4 months, failed miserably, but was able to, finish out the summer, made $31,000, which for me was life-changing. Even to today, that's probably the most important money I ever made. It was more than my parents had made. And it was, as a college student, that was really incredible for me. Came back the next year as a sales manager, made $156,000, and next year as a regional manager, and kept growing that income. And it turned into a 15-year leadership career, managing 121 sales teams across 41 states. We had 2 IPOs with Blackstone and Goldman Sachs. So it's fun to see that company, grow and scale. And all along the way, though, I was really passionate about creating more freedom in my life. I realized a long time ago that freedom is one of my core motivators. And so I started to aggressively take that active income and put it into passive income real estate. And, so I started out when I was, 23 years old, bought my first rental properties, really fell in love with that process of, pursuing passive income and also not having to pay a lot of taxes. There's a lot of tax benefits with real estate. And so when I was 30 years old, I set a goal of having 40 rental properties by age 40. I called it 40 by 40. It was my mantra. I changed all my passwords and my screensaver on my phone to 40 by 40. And I committed to doing whatever it would take to creating that quality of life and that financial freedom for my family. Hit that goal when I was 36, increased that goal to having ownership in 1,000 rental properties by age 40. And that's when I retired from, that leadership career. And I went full-time into real estate and hit that goal when I was 40. And then I decided to help launch Axia Partners, which is our real estate firm. We're a national real estate investment firm. We have multiple investment opportunities across the country. We mainly focus on recession resilient commercial real estate. We We love self-storage, multifamily, and industrial warehouse space. And it's been really fun, you know, bringing in about 400 of my friends and family into commercial real estate and helping to create those, you know, tax benefits as well as the passive income and freedom for those that I care about. So it's been a fun journey. And go ahead.
That's awesome, man. I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but I early on, again, many, many years ago, probably similar to you, I started selling home security systems. And so my father-in-law owned a business doing that in another state. And so when my wife was pregnant with our first child, I was like, my father-in-law can figure it out. Surely I can figure it out. And so started doing that, did that for a little while before I got into speaking, actually. And so, yeah, it's a grind, man, going door to door and talking with people and chasing down leads and following up. And like, it learned a ton from that, but I definitely don't miss those days.
Grant, I did not know you did that. That's awesome, man. We were cut from the same cloth. You know, I'd say it's definitely not a fun job. It's definitely, you know, there's a lot of things to hate about it, honestly, you know, but yeah. What I do feel, I feel like you learn a lot about life. You know, you learn a lot about life skills and soft skills. For example, and as an example, all my children, you know, I hope that they will go out and do at least one season of Door to Door Sales, just because it teaches you so much about, you know, how to handle rejection, how to embrace doing hard things, you know, psychology, interpersonal communication, discipline, time management, leadership, and salesmanship, which are some of the most valuable skill sets in today's economy.
Yeah, big time. So, all right. So you walk us through there, all the journey into real estate, the 40 by 40, I think is super cool. We could spend a lot of time talking about that, just kind of the focus and intentionality behind that, how you achieved that significantly earlier than expected. But at what point did you mentioned like you started Axia, which as a disclosure, I'm an investor in, neither of us are being paid to be here right now. So, but nonetheless, I should probably mention that, cover both of our butts. But at what point did you start speaking, and then how does speaking fit into what you're doing?
So when I retired from door-to-door sales back in 2017 and I jumped into real estate, what I realized was I love real estate. I'm very passionate about it, but I realized, you know, I really missed that interpersonal side of leadership, and that just creating value for people, direct value for people and development, leadership capacity. And so I actually started on the side to do executive consulting for small to medium high growth companies. And so I'd have, you know, 4 to 6 clients at any given time, and they're all CEOs and, you know, very successful business people. But it was fun to be able to help create value for them and see them get to that next level. And I really, really enjoyed that. But I also realized I was trading, you know, time, you know, an hour for an hour. And I just felt like it wasn't the best use of my time and my skills. And so I decided to start working on public speaking and be able to speak from a stage where I can create value for, you know, thousands of people at the same time. And I just felt like that was a better use of my time and talents than, you know, one-on-one. But honestly, I do miss the one-on-one, you know, having, you know, face-to-face conversation and identifying their blind spots and where we can really improve their business was really, really fun. But that's what really probably sparked the journey in public speaking. Secondarily to that was my entire life, I've really lived around the motto that if something scares you, you should probably do it. And it's been literally a motto throughout my entire life. You know, whether that's, you know, hiking Mount Everest, whether that's running with the bulls last month in Spain, you know, skydiving, whatever that looks like. But if it scares you, I feel like it usually means you should just do it. And at this point in my life, there's really only 3 things that still scare me. And I'll share them with you, Grant. One of those is public speaking and, you know, specifically stand-up comedy. It's something that I feel like if you can do stand-up comedy, that's the truest and purest form of communication. Mm-hmm. And so a funny story, I actually hired a stand-up comedy coach last month. And nice. Actually, on a podcast, I've got a 2-hour in-person training session with them to try to figure out how to do this public stand-up comedy. Oh. And so that's one thing that's kind of, you know, scares me. Number 2 is open water swimming. I've done a few Ironmans and endurance events, and the swimming mm-hmm. portion is just, I just float. I sink like a rock. I'm not very buoyant. Yeah. Trying to figure that out. The third one is I've got these 3 amazing, beautiful daughters, and the idea of them dating just scares the hell out of me, man. So I'm still trying to figure out how to manage that side of it. So,
well, if you figure out that last one, you let me know. I'm in that same boat with the three girls. So, all right. So you're scared by speaking, want to lean into it, even taking a step back further of you mentioned like, okay, I'm doing some coaching, some consulting, some one-on-one type work. And I realize that's, you know, it's effective, but maybe is there a way to, you know, to go beyond this? There's a variety of different ways you could do that. You know, whether it's what we're doing right now as a podcast or video or speaking or a book, I mean, any number of platforms. So why speaking of all things, especially as like, as you mentioned, it's something that like terrifies you. I get the part of it. I'm like, okay, let's lean into what we fear, but also there are a lot of ways that you can make a living. So why incorporate speaking into what you were doing then?
Yeah. So again, I think it's mainly to be able to have a microphone to be able to reach a lot of people. You know, one of my personal, getting a little personal here, my personal goals for Dave Allred is, you know, I want to be able to create direct value for at least 10 million people in my life and help at least 1,000 people create true financial freedom through passive income. And so again, having a bigger stage, you know, and a microphone allows you to touch or to impact so many more people. And so that's probably the key answer there. Secondarily is with Axia Partners, you know, I love speaking about financial literacy and about, you know, just, you know, how to be a professional investor, you know, how to look at investment allocations and, you know, guiding principles when it comes to investment decisions and really just helping to create that financial freedom. And so, you know, it might sound kind of cheesy, but I found like the more value I can create for other people, it always comes full circle. My all-time favorite quote is by Zig Ziglar. And he says, you can have everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And I just found that, you know, the more value you can create, not only does it actually make you feel really good and get that fulfillment, but eventually it usually comes full circle and usually, you know, 2 to 3 times. And so, you know, and then a third reason would just be, you know, with Axia Partners, you know, we raise a lot of capital and we have a lot of projects in the pipeline. So we're always looking to raise more and more capital. And so speaking and being a good speaker allows me to help share the message and create more awareness and more reach for to potential investors that may find Axia Partners a compelling investment opportunity. And so, you know, versus me, you know, getting on a phone call or texting a friend or, you know, making a post, I can actually get in front of people real time, create real value for them, and then share, you know, an opportunity to invest with us. But, you know, one thing that I've learned, maybe two things real quick, is personally, one of my own goals in life is when I raise capital is I never want to chase capital. I want to attract capital, right? And so there's a big difference there. And getting on stage and just pitching versus being able to create real value and then an invitation, you know, to be able to look further into the opportunities with us. I do believe that in today's economy, you know, the days of just getting up and just pitching without creating value first are kind of behind us. And I guess it's my opinion, but the new economy is, you know, create massive value for people and then ask for their business. And so that's one of the ways that I feel like speaking has worked well for me is to take that approach on stage of, hey, how can I create maximum value for the audience? And then at the end, there's an opportunity to learn more, right? But it's never really a high pressure, you know, hey, here's, you know, info commercial
type of. I think one of the things that's appealing about, you know, what you're doing and intriguing about it is, you know, again, there's a lot of people who listen to the podcast who are speakers and, you know, the Speaker Lab Orbit, and they have followed like largely a traditional model of I go speak, I collect a check, and that's kind of the end of the transaction. And there's nothing wrong with that. I did that for many, many years, and that's super, super effective. You know, you're in a good example of someone who it sounds like, the primary goal for you is not only like, you know, kind of awareness with Axia, what you're doing there, but also from a, like a legion standpoint of building that know, like, and trust with people. And it's much more effective to do that in an in-person speaking environment than someone, you know, reading your blog post or getting an email or something like that. So have you found that that's primarily the win from speaking is from a legion and trust building standpoint?
Yeah, I would say the primary, I mean, and you know, the paid speaking income is nice. You know, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel, you know, it's probably the fun part of it.
Sure.
But I would say to your point, yeah, it's more about creating a community and creating connection. And again, creating value for people that, you know, and if you create real actionable value for them, generally speaking, usually that they're going to want to reciprocate that back. And so I guess lead gen is an accurate way of saying that, but, you know, just not, I prefer the terminology of community, right? So building a community of like-minded people. And that's another part of this too, is, you know, if you can speak to a room with 5,000 people in it, and you can really attract your tribe and the people that really vibrate with your message and they're really attracted to it, right? And so you just get an opportunity to really find your people. Yeah. And without having to spend so much time sifting through it on an individual level.
Now, if we go back again, another couple steps, when it sounds like you're doing some speaking and realizing like, okay, if I connect the speaking that I'm doing with the fundraising that I'm doing and capital raising with Axia, I see how like this could potentially work. Where do you go from there in terms of finding and booking gigs that make sense? Because, you know, just because you want to speak on a topic doesn't necessarily mean organizations or groups care about that topic. If you say, okay, I want to get in front of people who have the means to invest in some of the real estate projects that I'm working on, well, that could look a lot of different ways in a lot of different settings. So how did you kind of navigate and figure out, hey, here's where I'm best, here's how I can best provide value and help people. And in addition, on the other side of the equation, like here are the people that have determined are best suited in terms of potential investors for what it is that we're doing. Like how did you navigate that and figure out the right spot for you to be in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I might be a little bit different from most of your guests and your clients. I actually haven't put a lot of work into trying to find paid engagements. It's just been very organic. And so as I have spoken, it's just a lot of times that I think a lot of it's actually with social media, right? So I'll speak somewhere and I'll post something about that, or other attendees will post about the event and some of their takeaways. And I think that just creates more and more awareness to the fact that I am willing to speak, and also the topics that I'm passionate about speaking on. And so this naturally, I get a lot of traction and a lot of, I guess, lead flow for speaking opportunities. But I haven't actually ever paid for an ad or really been very intentional with trying to source more speaking engagements. The only thing that I have done to create more lead flow is I launched a website. It's just daveallred.com. And on that website, there's one tab that's, you know, speaking. And so people can go in there and apply to have me speak at their events. So that's really the only thing I've done from an intentionality standpoint. I think that social media is such a massive tool. And I think a lot of people underestimate the power of social media, right? It's a free resource. And if you're trying to create a personal brand or more awareness around, you know, wanting to be a having more speaking engagements, I think my advice would be is just to make sure you're putting out good, consistent content on all the social media platforms. And I think that's, again, it's a free microphone, right? To be able to create more awareness. And at least for me, that's really been the key to, larger paid engagements.
Do you find that just posting on social provides some of that social proof of people who have been following you? You know, like, I follow you on social, and so I've seen times that you've posted stuff before. And so do you think that just kind of like tucks something in people's mind of like, next time they're thinking of a speaker or need to recommend a speaker or refer a speaker, that they go, wait a second, there's this one dude I follow online and he has some good content and he shares some good insights, and I've seen, you know, some social proof of things that he's posted before. You think that that's that helps move the needle for you?
I think that, and this is my experience, but my experience has been, yeah, as long as you're posting relatable content and it's consistent, it's high quality, then I think what you really want to do is you want to be top of mind, right? So if some company is looking to bring in a speaker to speak on passive income or real estate or, you know, creating a lifestyle design, or some of these topics that I'm very passionate about are tax deductible investing, right? Like those are topics that I'm well known for speaking on. And, you know, also a lot about, you know, just being a dad and, you know, balance with family, work life. And so those are topics that I think a lot of businesses and events and masterminds get a lot of value from. And so, you know, the more I can post content about that, the more awareness people have that that's what Dave Allred likes to speak on. But I think it has to be, it has to have some consistency to the amount of that you're posting the content, because again, you really want to stay top of mind. So, you know, when a CEO is thinking, hey, who should we bring in to speak to our key employees, or, you know, you want them to think of me, oh, Dave Allred, he's perfect for this. I've seen him posting about this on social media. So that, at least for me, that's been a big, you know, a big key. Second to that is masterminds. And so as we spoke about prior to hitting the record button, you know, I'm in, I think it's 7 different masterminds right now, which is funny because 2 years ago I was in 0, but, you know, I'm in 7 masterminds, and a lot of those, and I'm usually speaking and presenting at these events, and a lot of those events have a lot of CEOs and business leaders. And then they leave that event knowing that, you know, Dave Allred loves speaking on these topics. And so I've gotten a lot of speaking opportunities from having spoken at some of those high level mastermind groups as well.
So you mentioned that it sounds like you've got plenty of opportunities that are coming through the door, and invites and invitations to go speak. How are you determining which ones make sense and which ones don't? Because there's a variety of different criteria. What's interesting is for speakers is everybody can have their own criteria. So what may make sense for you may not make sense for me, and vice versa. It's not that one's better or worse than the other, but you've got to be clear for like what is the win for you as speaking. So what are the criteria that you determine, yes, this one makes sense, or no, that one may not make sense?
By the way, Grant, that's such a quality question. It really is. You know, I try to be very intentional with my time and where I deploy my energy these days. And, you know, and it's not only on where I speak, but it's with my friends, you know, with my business partners, even with my investors. And, you know, the simple answer is I'm big on relationships. Like if I can't like sit down and like hang out and like have a good time and enjoy a relationship, then I'm probably not going to come, unless you pay me a lot of money, then maybe I'll still consider it. But generally, I'm really just in the business of doing business with my friends at this point in my life. And so, you know, it's relationship based is the first thing I'd say. So like Grant, for example, when you asked me if I want to jump on this podcast, you know, I immediately said yes. Why? Because you and I spent some time together at a Front Row Dads event and really connected. You know, I feel we have a ton of similarities with our families, with our mission statement, with what we're trying to create with impact. And so it was an easy yes, right? But I literally get podcast invitations on a daily basis, and 90% of the time I just don't respond, or it's a no, because you know, I don't want to. And so no. I think that's number one, is it's relationship based. Number two would be, is this going to help create, you know, is it going to help grow my community? And again, community to me is people that are like-minded, that we can create value for them, they can create value for us, and we have, you know, similar objectives. And the third one would be is the financial side of it. Again, so, you know, if somebody's going to pay you, you know, 25 grand or 50 grand to come speak at an event, then, you know, it's hard to say no to that as well. So those are my three filters.
Gotcha. Now, what about in terms of just the volume, the right number of events to do? Because again, it sounds like you've got a good amount of opportunities that may exist. Speaking is something that provides a lot of different value for you, for the audience. But also you're in a spot where plenty of people listening may be in a similar spot of going, okay, I'm a business owner. I wear a lot of different hats. One of those hats being speaking, and you may have, you know, 100 different opportunities that come through the door that you could justify or say, hey, these all make sense. And as part of my role within Axia and what in my own personal brand, I could do all these, yet I don't have time to do all these in addition to everything else I'm doing. I'm not a full-time speaker. How have you kind of navigated and determined, does it make more sense to do 5 events or 50 events? And, you know, balancing, again, the business side of it, but also we were talking a little bit beforehand just about travel and being away from family. Family is massively valuable to both of us. And so there's nothing like being on stage, but man, if I can sleep in my own bed and hug my girls at night, that's way more valuable. So how have you kind of navigated and determined what's the right amount of events to be doing?
Good question. So when I first decided to jump into this space a few years ago, what I actually said to myself was, hey, you know what? I'm just going to say yes to every single speaking opportunity because I feel like I wasn't good at it. Right. And I believe that the best way to get better at something is just to jump into it head first and just do it. I mean, that, at least for me in my life, that's how I learned the fastest and most efficiently, is just doing it. It's not reading a book or listening to a podcast. It's actually jumping into the weeds and doing it firsthand. So I literally said yes to every single opportunity to speak for probably the first year and a half, maybe. And then once I felt like I had it, somewhat figured out, then it came down to more about travel and being away from my family and my company. And so it was just more managing the schedule. At this point, I'd say probably about once a month is a healthy balance for me. I feel like I'm speaking once a month on a stage. I'm able to stay sharp and I'll continue to improve. And it's not taking away too much time from my family or my businesses.
Got it. Let's also talk about, you mentioned that part of the value for you is speaking. It's not necessarily just the check that you may get, although that is certainly nice. We all like to eat and live indoors, but also whenever it comes to building some awareness with Axia, perhaps meeting some new potential partners or investors. Walk us through when you're giving a presentation and part of the win for you is not necessarily just the check or providing some value, but also ideally I'd like to get some, potential investors and start some conversations and relationships out of this. It's a different thing, different sale or transaction than just hey, go to the back of the room and buy my book type thing. So when you are presenting or if someone who's listening is in a similar spot of going, hey, I have a marketing agency. I speak about marketing, but I also have these, six-figure contracts with clients. Well, that's not just to go to the back of the room and sign up. So walk us through, is there anything that you do to kind of seed those conversations, to lead into those conversations for people to kind of give them an opportunity to raise their hand, express interest? And walk us through, what do you do for that?
So a lot of that depends on the audience, right? If they came to learn about Axia Partners offerings, I'm going to be a lot more direct, hey, this is the opportunity, this is the value proposition, and then here's the next steps. And that next step's going to be pretty much, hey, here's subscription documents, here's the next steps, log into our investor portal, and let's rock and roll. If it's more, the group is just wanting to learn about real estate in general and about what passive income is. Or, I've spoken at some of the local universities here recently in front of, 300 to 400, in their entrepreneurial classes. And that's a, not a very sophisticated group where you got to keep it really, really simple, right? And in that situation, I'm not trying to pitch anything. I'm just really trying to create value only. So it really depends on the audience. I would say what I have found to be very effective, I always invite people to follow me on social media. So I'll just throw out, Dave Allred. It's on all the platforms, pretty easy to find. And I love social media because it really helps you to be able to connect on more of a personal level, on a human level. And it also allows, automatically you stay connected, right? And so when I post something in the future about my family, about a multifamily deal or about our new fund offering, it's there without having to put any additional work into it. So I think social media is a huge, huge tool. I also have had a lot of success lately with just using a QR code. So we'll go through a PowerPoint presentation, create as much value as possible. And then towards the end, it's just a simple invitation. If you'd like to learn more about what we're working on and upcoming opportunities, here's a QR code. And they just pull out their phone, scan that. And then that can add their information to our communications and our future email list. And that way they're going to be in the know in the future as well. So again, but I think really it comes down to the audience and what they're looking for. My primary goal, Grant, when I get on stage is I always try to ask myself this question over and over as I'm preparing, as well as when I walk on the stage, is just, how can I create maximum value for the audience? And I think if you ask that question, you always, you frame your presentation around that as the root question or the foundation. That's where I found the best success, man, because you're really focusing on how you can create and serve the audience, and it's always going to come back full circle to you. So, yeah. And on that note, sorry if I can expand a little bit more. When I first got started, I think that, I was so worried and so nervous about what people were going to think about me on stage, right? I think that's pretty natural. You don't want to be embarrassed. You care what people think so much. What really helped me to feel more confident as a speaker was realizing that everybody's thinking about themselves. And I even tell my daughters this, with anxiety and, in high school, it's like, hey, other people's opinions are none of your business. And the more you can realize like, hey, everybody's actually thinking more about themselves and like how they feel and what they're getting out of this than you, it kind of shifts the focus to how can I create maximum value for them. And I think that's really helped me to feel more confident up there in my shoes. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's helped me a ton personally.
Yeah. For someone who's listening who maybe is in a similar spot of going, I am interested in speaking in part to from like a lead gen standpoint, how I'd be curious, like how speaking when you look at and again, I know that you're not necessarily thinking through every possible lens as, you know, is this going to drive investors or not? But that is that is certainly a byproduct of speaking and some of the other efforts that you have. How does speaking stack up against social media, some of the other efforts that you make to attract new investors? So for someone, again, who's may not necessarily be trying to attract investors, but may be doing something similar in terms of just lead generation for their product or service, how has speaking worked for you relative to other channels?
That's a really good question. I may not be fully qualified to answer that. And I say that because, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that I have around 400 investors that have invested capital with me. However, it's all very organic. It's all my friends, my family, my social network. You know, I mean, I've actually never paid for an ad or a Facebook ad or an email campaign. So I don't have a lot of experience with, you know, intentional marketing campaigns and lead gen like that. It's just been very, very organic and a lot of word of mouth and a lot of repeat investors over the years. So there's an honest answer. I actually don't know what to compare that to. Yeah. Because it's always just been very just kind of natural, organic.
Yeah, so that's fair. All right, let's wrap up with this. Let's go back to Dave of several years ago of going like, I'm kind of interested in speaking and I'm going to say yes to a whole bunch of things. And I know that I'll get better, but currently I suck at it. And I'm thinking I could be decent at this. I don't know if I have what it takes. What would you say to the speaker who's in that same spot of wondering if they have what it takes and want to make speaking some part of their career?
My advice would be is to just dive in, you know, head first. And again, take every single speaking opportunity that you can. Even if it's for free, even if you have to pay for the flight or the hotel and whatnot, like just go and do it. Secondly is I really believe in the concept of there's power in proximity. So just get around people that are great, right? So get around Grant, his group, his coaches, and study them, right? So like I love watching the you know, Ed Milets, some of these guys that are just incredible speakers, and really kind of like breaking it down like scientifically and trying to figure out exactly why they're saying how they say it and their body language and their tonality. And it really is a science. And so, you know, just studying the best, and I would challenge your listeners to figure out like who really resonates with them, like who do they see as the best in class speaker, and then because everybody would say a different answer there, and I think it kind of, at least I found that the speakers that I really look up to are the ones that have some of the same traits that I have, but I'm just not as good as them. I haven't refined those skills yet, and so get proximity, study them. Third thing I would say is if it scares you, you should do it like that. Like it, I think it's totally normal. You know, one of the biggest human fears is public speaking. I don't know the psychology behind that, but it's pretty fascinating that, you know, you see these people that have done some incredible things in their lives and then you get them on a stage and it shuts down. It's tough. And then one more thing I would just add is, and I'll kind of find out wrapped up with this, because I really do believe that experiences are the new economy. And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody wants experiences. And the more you can create an experience for your audience, the more they're going to remember you. And I also think that the more they're willing to pay for your services. And so, you know, whether it's baby boomers or millennials, whoever it might be, people are willing to pay a premium for experiences. And so for me personally, like, you know, all the restaurants that I'm involved in are very, very experiential. You know, we brought a Topgolf into Utah last year. You know, it's very experiential. Even Axie Partners, if you go to our homepage, axiepartners.com, the homepage says experiential investing. And it's all about creating experiences for our investors, whether that's monthly webinars, whether that's, you know, swag boxes in the mail. There's a lot of examples there. But the more you can create an experience for your client or your audience, the more they will not only appreciate it, but you'll be more memorable and they're more likely to do business with you in the future.
Yeah. Good stuff. You mentioned your website, both your personal brand and Axia earlier, as well as some of your social handles. Give us a refresher where, if we want to check you out, find out more about what you're up to, where can we go?
You bet. So personally, it's DaveAllred.com or on all the socials, DaveAllred. Axia Partners, AxiaPartners.com. I'm also on social media. Love to connect with the community. And yeah.
Awesome. Dave, thanks for the time, brother. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Grant. Appreciate you.
Hey, friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple six figures. And so if that's you, I would encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/apply. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/apply. I want you to book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.